Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the president is fighting the Chinese coronavirus. We have the reaction alongside the fact that 40% of Democrats are happy and pleased that Donald Trump got the Chinese coronavirus, according to a Morning Consult poll. We talk about natural rights. We talk about political fundamentals and so much more. I want to thank those of you that support our program at charliekirk.com/support. For monthly supporters, we have a private Zoom meeting. It's one of my favorite things we do every month at charliekirk.com/support. You can become a monthly supporter of our program. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if we select your question, you guys win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. And please get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com or our political vehicle, Turning Point Action, tpaction.com. I take your questions. It's Monday. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, if you're hungry right now, I got a solution for you. Let me tell you about Good Ranchers. They got the best meat in the country because Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised at harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, American values. Maybe you're a college student and you're tired of just eating the endless piles of garbage they feed you. Maybe you're a single mother and you just want to be able to feed your kids good protein. Or maybe you're a father with an obligation to put food on the table. Well, why don't you put meat on the table from goodranchers.com. You get 100% American-raised beef right to your door. Beef the way it used to be. I'm a big beef fan. I love meat. It's very important that you have good meat, and that's what Good Ranchers is all about. Goodranchers.com is 100% American beef, chicken, and more, and you can support American farmers who support the American economy. Don't waste your money on cheap cuts or the overseas stuff. Come on, buy American, everybody. Get the good cuts your family deserves at goodranchers.com. They deliver your favorite meats right to your door and use the promo code Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to save $20 off your purchase. That's goodranchers.com right now. Use the promo code Charlie. Save $20 for a limited time only. Goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this Monday episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. We are taking your questions that you emailed to us at freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. And actually, as you are hearing this program, we are also live on dozens of radio stations across the country, starting the Charlie Kirk Show on terrestrial radio. Maybe I might be live in a market near you. Go to charliekirk.com and you guys can see a full list of the affiliates that we are broadcasting on with the Great Salem Radio Network, SRN News and Salem Radio Network. So if I select your question, you guys win a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller, The MAGA Doctrine. Let's get right to it. Can you talk about some of the political fundamentals that we are seeing as we get less than a month out from the election? Al from Florida asks, what is the state of the race as you see it? Well, it's really interesting. If we dive deeper into some of the political fundamentals, not just who's winning in the polls, but actually voter registration, what's happening on the ground, there's some very interesting and promising trends happening. Despite all of the noise on the media, Republicans and conservatives have invested heavily in a robust ground game in states across the country. Because of this, this has materialized in a voter registration advantage for the president and for his base. Now, if you go state by state and you start to look at actually some of the numbers that have been pouring in, there's a lot of positive news that the activist media is not talking about. For example, in the state of Arizona, this is an Arizona voter registration update. Statewide, from April 1st to mid-September, Republicans have 55,000 new voter registrations and Democrats 39,000 new voter registrations. So Republicans are far outpacing the registered Democrats in the state of Arizona. Just in Maricopa County, from April 1st to mid-September, Republicans 41,000, Democrats 32,000. In a shorter window, from early August to mid-September, Republicans 27,745, Democrats 17,763. There's just more registered Republicans and Democrats in a lot of these states. And Ron DeSantis said it best when he said, quote, when Donald Trump won Florida in 2016, there were 340,000 more registered Democrats than registered Republicans. He continued by saying, as of the close of the books on August, I think we're down to a deficit of 180,000. That's as close as Republicans have ever been in the history of voter registration in the state of Florida. Already in September, the numbers we're getting look like the Republicans are far outpacing Democrats. Governor Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, finished by saying, and this is absolutely true, quote, I think that's true in all these swing states. Pennsylvania, we're seeing the same in North Carolina. So the president's going to have an electorate that is more Republican than the one he had in 2016. And I think that's probably the biggest story of all. And NBC News has said, quote, Trump is winning the voter registration battle against Biden in key states. It may not be enough to erase the former vice president's polling lead, but he could boost the president if the race tightens. And this is by David Wasserman from NBC News, not exactly a friendly outlet to the president. But it did go into some of the data here that said, again, in Florida, Florida added a net 195,000 new Republican voters. Incredible. And even in heavily blue Miami-Dade County, where Hillary Clinton beat Trump by 29 points, Republicans added a net 22,986 additional voter registrations between March and the end of August. In Pennsylvania, Republicans added a net 135,619 voters between this June's primary and the final week of September. North Carolina also has this pro-GOP trend. And this goes to show that the work that we are doing at Turning Point Action through Students for Trump, and also what the Trump campaign has invested in a robust ground game, will materialize in a couple point boost for the president in the states that matter. There just are more Republicans that are registered to vote than Democrats in the key battleground states. This is a significant competitive advantage. But Politico actually highlights this best. It says, quote, Biden flip-flops on door knocking with just 33 days left. This is by Alex Thompson, Politico.com. It says, Biden's campaign announced plans to start door-to-door campaigning after insisting for months that the strategy was not necessary. It continues by saying, the campaign said volunteers would start door knocking in Michigan, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania this weekend, with the rest of the battleground states following early next week. The reason why Joe Biden has pivoted, and actually Politico, to their credit, said that he flip-flops. It's absolutely a flip-flop. Biden was attacking door knocking strategy, but now he realizes that there's no ground game whatsoever for Joe Biden in the key battleground states. In fact, Politico says, quote, campaign door knocking in a pandemic puts lives at risk and turns off voters. It's sort of useless. And anyone who said otherwise is needlessly panicking. At least that was Joe Biden's position until Thursday, when it abruptly reversed course and announced hundreds of volunteers would soon be hitting the doors in swing states with just 33 days to go in the campaign. This is a great article by Politico. It basically shows the hypocrisy and a little bit of the crisis happening in the Biden campaign. And this is a complete reversal from Barack Obama's successful strategy in 2012, when he started knocking on doors using field organizers as early as 2011, 18 months before the election. Claire Sandberg, I'm reading from Politico.com here, Bernie Sanders' 2020 national organizing director, said it is, quote, definitely possible to get a field program off the ground in 33 days, but she cautioned that the Biden campaign could also face challenges. They have a lot of on-the-ground barriers. They don't know which doors that they need to make sure go and vote. And a GOTV effort that is robust and well-funded will definitely help the president. They know the votes they need to get. They know where those doors are. They know their friendlies. They know the opposition. And because of that, the president has a competitive advantage. And so, look, this only matters if the race is within striking distance. And so the president's challenge right now will be to get the race back into striking distance. There is obvious unforeseen barriers right now with the president fighting the Chinese coronavirus and the president not campaigning and not traveling. And that means those of us on the outside that want to see the president of the United States reelected, we are going to have to step up. Our president has had our back and our country's back at every single turn. But now it is imperative for us to rise up and knock on more doors and have the president's back and try to get this race back within the margin of error. And if you believe the polls, Trump is losing. If you don't believe the polls like I do, but you believe the general trend of the polls, it's a slight Biden advantage in certain states, but it very well might be a Trump advantage. And so the state of the race becomes incredibly complex as the president continues to fight the virus and is not able to campaign. Look, here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with very high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support, the worst. So while there's a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer to keep your family safe from criminals. The thugs are walking the streets, maybe coming after your family. You have to keep your family safe. That's why you need SimpliSafe. Look, crime is up huge percentages in New York and Los Angeles. They're breaking into homes. They're taking people's stuff. That's why you need SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe has everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It has an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window and door tailored specifically. Look, I like partnering with SimpliSafe because I know it keeps you safe. I use SimpliSafe for all the property that I care about, and you can set it up in under an hour. All this starts at $15 a month. There's no contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. They are in the business of keeping your family and your loved ones safe. So try SimpliSafe today at simplisafe.com/Charlie. You get a free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose. That's simplisafe.com/Charlie. Here is a question. Hey, Charlie, you talk about natural law and natural rights. Can you please build this out more? My teachers say that natural rights are a disproven theory and that government grants rights. Thanks so much, Cynthia in Arkansas. Well, congratulations, Cynthia in Arkansas. You win a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller, The MAGA Doctrine. So the idea of natural rights is an idea that John Locke was the first one to really theorize. Now, remember, there's three social contract writers or theorists that we talk about. There's Thomas Hobbes, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and John Locke. Now, all three of them had different opinions on human nature. Thomas Hobbes believed that human beings in the state of nature were nasty, brutish, and short to each other. Jean-Jacques Rousseau thought that human beings in the state of nature live in a state of harmony, almost a state of paradise. John Locke had a more positive view of human nature, but where he differentiated from Jean-Jacques Rousseau and a little bit from Thomas Hobbes in The Leviathan articulated and argued that we need a strong central government to try to compensate for how human beings are so awful to each other. John Locke argued that every human being has equality, not materially, but equal rights. In fact, you see this almost carbon copied by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson wrote very clearly, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, born with certain inalienable rights. Among those are life, liberty, pursuit of happiness." And now, mind you, John Locke said life, liberty, and property. No John Locke, there is no United States of America. Locke believed that the most basic human law of nature is the preservation of mankind. And so, mind you, for decades leading up to the Declaration of Independence, which is our birth certificate, our founders were wrestling with this idea of where exactly do rights come from? So we had the first great awakening in our country, led by Whitfield and Edwards and so many others, where people were rededicating their lives to Christ. And when you all of a sudden start a vertical relationship with the Almighty via his son, Jesus Christ, then you're going to start to ask the question, why does King George have so much power over us? I thought we had a vertical relationship with the most important thing on the planet and the universe, God. And once you start asking that question, well, then you start to seek literature and writing where people are able to articulate that you are born with certain rights, that it is not government, but it is God that gives you the right to being, right to assembly, right to self-defense. And so these ideas for a couple decades were being thrown around. They were being wrestled with. Now, mind you, the colonists were mostly left alone from the British Empire. And then the taxes started to be levied by King George. In 1763, something very dramatic happened. It was the end of the French-Indian War, which led to the French withdrawal from the North American continent, a large French withdrawal. And understand, if you go back to 1710, that's really where the idea of natural rights started to be incubated. Really, the right to be free, the right to self-govern. And really, the founding fathers believed this was universally true to all human beings. And so what made the American Revolution so unique was that it was not just a local quarrel. It wasn't just a couple tribes fighting each other. It wasn't just a couple different colonies uprising. It wasn't one superpower fighting another superpower. It had a unique flavor for a very specific reason, because it was a revolution based in ideas. If you read the Declaration of Independence, it wasn't just saying that we believe that we have the divine right of kings versus you, and let's go to Holy Crusade against each other. It was a lot more nuanced than that. It was actually a lot more interesting than that. It was basically saying the governing philosophy that Great Britain has been operating prior to our basic enlightenment, which came from the Scottish Enlightenment and came from a lot of enlightenment ideas. So you have just the general enlightenment, which is, of course, the blend of reason and revelation. And then you had Descartes and Kant and Hume and the birth of rationalism versus empiricism versus skepticism. And we'll get into all of that in a later podcast at a different time. It's very important that all of you understand the differences there and actually how it plays out in politics today. Then you had the Scottish Enlightenment, that you had Hume, as I mentioned, and of course, Burke and Smith, which eventually led to Locke and then the American Revolution. And as the American Revolution was kind of working itself out, we must understand that the founding fathers had a biblical worldview as the foundation. The foundation, most importantly, was that you do not give me anything. God gives me everything. And God gives me the rights so that I can be able to go out and make something of my life. And understand, it was 60 years of these revolutionary ideas as it was bubbling up from the bottom. The American Revolution was a bottom-up revolution. It was not a top-down revolution. It was not a bunch of dictators or despots or kings and queens pointing aimlessly and saying, let's go to war. Instead, it was the people demanding self-governance. The founding fathers believed that human equality meant that no one has the right to dominate another, that there must be checks and balances. And the French judge, Montesquieu, was one of the leading writers that helped design the architecture of the American system, executive, legislative, and judicial branch. You actually see this written informally in the Declaration of Independence when Thomas Jefferson mentions God four times: God the Almighty, God the maker of the laws, God the executor of the laws, and God the interpreter of the law. Of course, you have the Almighty, God the sovereign over the entire government, then the judicial, executive, and legislative branch, which of course ended up being Article 1, 2, and 3 of the United States Constitution. Now, the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence were not just saying, screw you, King George, we're done. They were actually engaging in the art of persuasion. They knew that this document was going to either be a death certificate or the birth certificate. They weren't sure. And so while some of them were writing what could have been their death certificate, they were really writing a birth certificate for the United States of America, where they were saying men are born free, and they were really making a moral claim. There's a phenomenal Hillsdale College lecture that dives into this specific idea. But basically, this idea is that there are moral rights, and with it, there are moral obligations. And the other question the founding fathers asked in the Declaration was, who has the right to rule us? Do we first have the right to rule ourselves? And from that, who has the right to self-governance? Who has the right to be able to tell us what to do? And there's a great quote at Harvard Law School which says plainly, the laws are the wise restraints that keep men free. The founding fathers were bold enough to dare to say they wanted to embrace liberty. Remember, liberty is not man's idea. It is God's idea. The American Revolution required a central organizing theme. The rebellion against King George, it was not about gaining more power, revenge, turf, or riches. Instead, it was about liberty. Everything that matters in life has a central theme. The election of Donald Trump has and had a theme: for citizens to peacefully reclaim their government from both parties that have let them down so much. The American Revolution was about liberty. Now, the French Revolution was not about liberty. It was about revenge and power. where the American Revolution was about liberty and responsibility. You see, the French Revolution, led by the Jacobins and led by Robespierre, was about trying to seek revenge for a French aristocratic ruling class that was so disconnected from the agrarian working class, specifically in the cities of Paris. And so as these writers and thinkers who were largely inspired by Rousseau, who believed the ideas of the social contract from a completely different philosophical standpoint, they believed that the French government should be there to serve them, that the French government should not just be there to protect rights, but should be there to administer stuff. And you can see that because the French, they said they believed in liberty, but they also said they believed in equality and fraternity, whereas the American Revolution was about liberty, responsibility, in God we trust, and e pluribus unum. So these are very important lessons that we must derive from the Founding Fathers. And what's so incredible is that our original birth certificate is just as true today as it was back then. Now, why is that? It's because human beings in the state of nature have not changed. That is why I tell young people, before you get into politics, you must understand fundamental philosophy. You must understand what Thomas Hobbes believed humans were in the state of nature. You must understand what Jean-Jacques Rousseau believed human beings were in the state of nature, believed human beings were in the state of nature, and what they wanted to do about that. Because every political system that we try to implement is just trying to manage, design, restrict, or confront human beings naturally. And so if you actually talk to a lot of liberals, they're trying to solve the puzzle of human nature. Why are human beings so bad to each other? Well, maybe if we give them more stuff, they'll be better to each other. We know this is not true. We know that human beings are broken in their natural state. This is what Thomas Hobbes got so right, but Thomas Hobbes got something wrong. Thomas Hobbes believed because of that, we need a strong, centralized authority because he was living through the British Civil War and he saw, the English Civil War, I should say, and he saw so much blood and catastrophe and suffering. He said, I never want to live through this again. We need a strong Leviathan to try to control people. But if you look at how the American system of governance was then formulated, we agreed, as Aristotle said, that we are the speaking beings, that legitimate political systems are always built on talking. And as I mentioned, the United States Constitution comes from the presupposition that it's not an unlimited government, that it is inherently a limited government, is a state government first and then a federal government. Remember, the federal government did not create the states. The states created the federal government. And so the United States system of government was intentionally designed for people to have their natural rights protected. It was designed so that those of us that wanted to go live a better life had the opportunity to do so, to work hard and play by the rules, not to get more stuff. And Madison explains this very well in Federalist 51. And if any of you are interested in exploring the great ideas that built Western civilization, you guys can go to thinker.org/Charlie, thinkr.org/Charlie. And in Federalist 51, Madison explained why we need precautions in the United States Constitution. And again, the Founding Fathers, they wrestled with this idea of where do rights come from? And then John Locke parachuted in and articulated it for them. Thomas Paine wrote probably the most important piece of literature that inspired the American founding called Common Sense. It sold hundreds of thousands of copies where Thomas Paine argued that these are the times that try men's souls, meaning that this is the time for us to rise up and fight for the rights that God gave us, that government did not give us. Because the philosophical framework of natural rights came decades beforehand, because there was a biblical worldview, then and only then could the American system of government be theorized and articulated. It's pretty incredible. The Declaration in 1776, the Constitution in 1787, it's so historic and unprecedented because you merge those together, you have the great leap forward that all of us enjoy today in Western society. We aren't able to enjoy quiet and peaceable lives, well, generally, if you don't live in Portland, and prosperous lives thanks to those revolutionaries in 1776 and 1785 that recognized that your existence is not because of some government bureaucrat and not because of a dictator. Instead, your existence is because God made you that way. And that is one of the most important acknowledgments that any system of government can go through. The idea of where do rights come from? Who are we in the state of nature? And if you are interested in learning more about this, I encourage you to go to thinker.org/Charlie, thinker.org/Charlie, and that can explain almost everything we are going through politically. If you understand who we are in the state of nature and who first theorized it, it explains so much of the political wrestling and political melee that we're living through right now. Look, there's a serious problem out there. Our first responders and heroes, a lot of you listen to the show, a lot of them, you have relatives of first responders. You have to pay out of your pocket for gear for the job that you're doing. So, for example, if you're a police officer, or if your husband's a police officer, or EMS or medical worker, you have to deal with constrained budgets as it is. They're trying to defund the police, and you have to pay out of your pocket for the gear. Hunting for military or first responder discounts has usually been a total headache. My police officer friends, who are total heroes, they say they can't find the discounts they need. Big general retailers don't care about you and your sacrifices, just as long as you're just adding to the cart button, typical new age corporate America. That's what's amazing about GovX. You see, GovX works directly with brands to negotiate the best prices possible because you deserve the gear you need at the prices you've earned. Plus, you can trust that the gear you're ordering is 100% authentic, direct from the manufacturer. A huge collection of gear and apparel from popular brands, all in one convenient location. So right now, visit GovX.com. Use the promo code Kirk. If you've got a military or first responder background, visit GovX and sign up for our free for instant access to tons of deals and a community that honors your service. GovX.com, promo code Kirk. Hi, Charlie. My name is Chloe. I'm a high school senior from California in the process of college applications, which are very stressful and long. And on top of that, I've added stress of applying as a conservative to many schools that I know won't like to see turning point in my application. How would you advise a student like me to apply to schools and be able to express our conservative views, whether in our essays or in our activities, and still get into college? I know you don't view college as the right path for many people, but my plan is to attend a four-year university and get my bachelor's in business and economics, and then transfer to a law school and get my law degree. Praying for you, and can't wait to see you at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, October 17th. That is right. I will be back on October 17th. First of all, Chloe, God bless you. Awesome question. And you're right. I do not think that college is the right path for everybody. But the fact that you're able to articulate why you want to go to school, how you're going to go to school, when you're going to transfer, and how you're going to graduate shows that you should be going to college. You're the type of person that should be going to college. Well, first of all, if you're involved in Turning Point USA, which it looks like you are, first of all, God bless you. Thank you for doing that. I encourage everyone to get involved with Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA chapter leaders are American heroes. They really are. And I hope the adults listening to this understand the type of backlash, assault, repudiation, and condemnation. And did you hear that question? And just for the adults out there that are listening to this, if you're over the age of 35 or 40, Chloe here is afraid that her career might be hurt because she's an outspoken conservative. We have a real problem in our country if that is what our young people are thinking when it comes to political identity, and it's happening all across the country. Well, first of all, Chloe, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Secondly, do not focus too much on the price that you will pay for telling the truth. That's true. You might not get into what you think would be your ideal school or path. However, contesting for truth at a young age will pay multiple dividends down the road. There absolutely is a price to pay. I am so blunt and so clear that if you speak your mind for your faith, for your values, and for your political worldview, that the left and the institutional powers to be will try to make you pay a price for that. I wish that was not the case. I wish that we were in a set of circumstances where people said, wow, I disagree with you, but good for being involved. God bless you for that. Instead, they look at you as a worse person. Understand that we believe the left is wrong. They think we're bad. So what's my advice? Well, first of all, there's a couple schools I'm sure that would love to have you. But just wear it on your sleeve. Be unafraid for what you believe and who you are. And if people want to judge you on that, you will be tougher because of it. You'll be a better lawyer because of it. There are plenty of law schools that will happily embrace you for your conservative views. Not as many as I would like, but you will become a better person and more capable to endure backlash and opposition when you stand your ground early, focus on the good, make your goals sharp and clear, be unafraid to look the opposition in the eye and stand firm for what you believe and how you believe it. It may hurt when you're 17. It may be harder when you're 19. But by the time you're 25, you will be so far ahead of other people that never either spoke their mind or people that never endured any form of backlash for their beliefs or any form of cost for speaking their values. God bless you, Chloe. Email me. I'd also love to get a picture with you when I come back to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Hey, Charlie, what does the left's reaction to President Trump's and Melania's Chinese coronavirus diagnosis tell you about the state of their movement, and how does that impact the future of civil society in America? Is that much hatred and vitriol sustainable for a major political movement? Gene from Ahwatukee. Well, first of all, there is a disturbing pattern of blue check people on Twitter that are wishing President Trump to die. ASAP Curry says, I hope he suffers through this and dies as he's losing on election night. Someone says, I hope they die. Must die is their Twitter handle. These are verified. Mike Diva says, wow, petty of you, man. You had a chance to be a good person. JK, LOL, hope he dies slow. New York Times Anthony says, yeah, the irony of Trump catching a disease is he let thousands and thousands of people die of is quite delicious. Even if I wasn't vegan, I wouldn't stop eating it. Next tweet says, if he dies, it is what it is. Daniel Golson says, I don't feel bad about hoping he dies because I've been hoping that since 2015. Lord Goraton, the merciless, says, I was about to go to bed, but y'all out here giving off big energy, hoping a man is going to die. So Trump got COVID, huh? Welp, if he dies, he dies. This is the American left, and I've been warning people about this. Hypocrite Donald Trump claims to be pro-life, dies. Gravel Institute. Next, LMFAO, Trump going to die, sober Rob. I dress, this MFer better die, LOL. Phil Nolan, die. Simon Abrams on Twitter says, for once I'm rooting for the virus. Alan Schusterschall, I'm worried this might interfere with my dream of seeing him die in prison. By the way, these are all verified Twitter accounts. This is not anonymous Twitter accounts. Time to die, please, says Chastity. Please die, please die, please die. At Nadarb Nagram. Do you see what we're up against? So when I say my family and myself are under death threats, I mean it. I'm not one to laugh at other people suffering, but ha 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 ha, burn in hell, you mother effer. Danielle Muscato, she says BLM. A nice thing about this is he's still going to be around to see how happy we're all going to be when he dies. No, but seriously, I hope he dies. At Goldie. I hope they die. I'm not naming names, so I'm not violating Twitter's policy against wishing anyone harm. Of course, they keep all these tweets up. Steve Cox is a congressional candidate, but first, Rob Hoffman, he killed 200,000 people. Hope he dies a horrible death. Brandon Sheffield, I will say, I hope he dies. Steve Cox, running for Congress, no, I'm not. I hope they both die. I don't want the current powers of the Republican Party to rally behind some savior and more civilized than Trump because we're already in enough trouble as it is, but I'm not going to pretend to be polite here. I hope Trump effing dies a painful Chinese coronavirus death, and I'm not sorry. And it goes on and on and on. Do you know that 40% of Democrats polled in a morning consulate poll says they are happy that President Trump got the Chinese coronavirus? 40% of Democrats. 40% of Democrats. And you guys think that we can somehow continue on this path in our country? I don't know what the solution is completely and totally. I know what we are doing is making a positive difference to get truth out there. But I was not happy when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. No conservative rejoiced. Look at what conservatives said when RBG passed away. And look what Democrats have done when Donald Trump gets the Chinese coronavirus. And we are thinking about giving these people power. We are thinking of giving these people more elected office. I just named 30 tweets right there of people wishing death. But I want to go back to the broader Democrat population because people in the media say, oh, no one's actually seriously saying they want him to die. 40% of registered Democrats, when polled in a morning consulate poll, say that they are happy that President Trump got the Chinese coronavirus. 40%. If it was 4%, it would be high. But 40% are happy. I want you to internalize what that actually means. I want you to map out what kind of a country we're living in and where this is going. I want you to pray. You should be praying anyway. About, is there a collision that's about to happen in our country when 40% are happy that the leader of the free world got the Chinese coronavirus? It should give you all pause about the type of country that we are leaving the next generation. Because when 40% of Democrats polled to please that their opposition political figure has their health at risk, that is a dangerous set of circumstances regardless of political affiliation. I want to thank all of you for sending in your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. You guys can email us. And if you want to listen to me live on radio today as this episode drops, go to charliekirk.com. charliekirk.com will have the full list of affiliates right there. Please get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, tpusa.com. And please pray for the president. And get engaged, get involved, pick up the slack, because the president is not going to be able to travel as much. We have to do what we can to get the president reelected for 4 more years. He is a fighter. He brings all of the country on his back, and now he has to endure the death threats, the death wishes, the virus, and still governing the country. God bless our president, everybody. This is the time to rally behind him. Stay focused on the good, hold the line, pray. We have a country to save. Thanks so much, and thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. You make our job possible at charliekirk.com/support. God bless. Talk to you soon.